You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have very, very fire production duo on the rise. Actually was just bumping their album IMT2. Without further introductions, I have production duo IMT2 on the phone.
Peace, what's good, Low?
What's good, what's good?
How are you gents doing, man? Fire project, by the way.
Thank you, man.
So let's start this off, too. It's always a pleasure when I have a duo appear on the podcast. So let's start off by introducing y'all separately.
Hi, this is, my name is Ike. I am music. One half of IMT2.
What's good? It's Manny C. I go with my T2. And I'm the other half.
So let's start this off, gents. What draws me to somebody's music is the logo, too. And I'm curious, too, before we get into the interview, do you mind giving a little bit of background of the name IMT2, gents?
Well, to start off, I mean, I am music, that's my name. Ike Ali Smalcano, so those are just my initials.
T2 was like they used to call me, you know, they call me T2 around here, so I just, you know, I know there's other TTs out there, so I just said let me use, instead of, you know, TT is T2, you know what I'm saying, T2 or whatever, you know. So that's where that name comes from. Oh, okay. T2 tracks, they call me T2 tracks, like a whole bunch of names, so
And your guys' 92 Woo was actually the very first single I ever heard of you guys, too. And before I actually heard the debut album, I thought you guys were rappers. But then when I heard that, you know, I didn't recognize anybody, I'm like, oh, these guys are a production duo.
Yeah, no rapping on this side.
Yeah, we've been doing beats for a long time. Yeah, I mean, we used to have, like, we've been rocking since, like, MPC 60, or not even before that, SP-12, SP-1200, S-950s, and all that, so, yeah, we've been doing beats for a long time already.
I'm curious, gents, too, your project, No Comp, is absolutely fucking fire. I'll go on wax and say that. That is one hell of a debut project.
Thank you.
Yeah, they went off on that shit.
Yeah, they fired that.
Rim, Eddie Kane and Kay Burns, they killed that.
I'm curious, gents. Was that the first project that you two ever decided to ever release together as IMT2?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some production on, you know, my man Scott G's project. Did some for Sean Strange in the last year. You know, had some features from Benny and Conway and stuff. And, you know, we just decided to, you know, we were getting a bunch of tracks from, you know, a bunch of people and just working with them. And, you know, decided just to compile it, you know.
Now,
drop the project.
Now, with the Underground Wave getting such notoriety in 2019, Ike from the Heights, I'm just wondering too, when did your producer story start off?
Well, like most, you know, most producers, I started rapping. And I just, you know, I don't like cameras and stuff, so, you know, I just, after high school, you know, I let it go. You know, life takes over. I had a child at 21.
No, he's ill too.
And just, yeah, the pen work is always there, but I like working behind the scenes, just making
a rapper, he just
speaking without talking, you know. So I can say at least like high school, man, I would say definitely high school started with, you know, I was fortunate to have T around with my brother. My brother used to spit also, so I was able to learn the beats while coming up rhyming, you know, and I just gravitated towards the production. I just, you know, something about it. Something about making, you know, making the people move. You already.
And as for you, T2, where did the producing story start for you, sir?
Well, I mean, it goes far back as, like, what, 92, 93?
Damn, like, I was only, like, just, 3.
Yeah, I fell in love with it, man. Like, you know, I started doing beats first with Fredo. you know, he, they were like, they're like pioneers in this neighborhood, man, in the Heights.
Yeah, you know,
it was all my peoples, and, you know, I'm growing up with them. They were always doing music, so I was always around, so I just fell in love with the art of making music, man. It's, I just think it's a craft that needs to continue. You know what I'm saying? For society, I think it's just, you know, just great, I think.
Now, with you guys being a production duo too, do you guys always work in the studio together, or sometimes do you guys do the back and forth between emails?
I mean, same neighborhood and stuff, being so both. So, but I would say 80% in studio together. You know, we make a lot of our beats here in my sneaker shop in Washington Heights, called Fame NYC.
Like,
so we set up in the basement, and, you know, we just bang out a lot of stuff.
Even before that, like, we used to have the equipment in his brother's house.
Yeah.
And we were always doing music together, like, with his brother.
Yeah, either he'll be there, Dolo's, and I'll show up, or I'll be there, he'll show up, or listen to these samples, you know, we'll send samples, you know, to each other back and forth, different concepts and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're more like brothers, man. It's not only about music, like, you know what I'm saying, we're family, it's, you know?
Yeah.
And they say, like, every, like, strong production duo has to have, like, history before they actually do the music together. And you guys obviously have the history behind each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Like we ate dinner in each other. You know, we, like, his, he ate my mom's dinner, I ate his mother's dinner. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like that. Like, you know,
just
a kid, so.
For someone who never been to Washington Heights, let alone the USA in general, do you gents mind giving an everyday life in a Washington Heights life, sir? Because I've never even been to the United States.
I mean, now it's a lot calmer, a lot more gentrified, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of kids, overpopulated, you know, like most places. A lot of weed in the air, you know, drugs, not too violent, you know, but, you know, just, you know...
Yeah,
high street. I was born and raised here. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's stereotyping. You know, like there's people that they're not from this neighborhood and they think it's absolutely bonkers out here.
Yeah.
But I never saw it that way. I mean, I'm born and raised I'm born and raised around here. And I mean, around here, what you get mostly is some dude hustling you, trying to sell you something, you know. You might have some people that don't speak English, just straight Spanish from Dominican Republic, you know, out here hustling and getting money.
It wasn't crazy violence. I'm sure back in the day, you know, when I was a young pup, you know, early 80s, it was wild out here, you know. But, you know, it's pretty calm, gentrified now, but
yeah, it's a lot more.
A lot of Spanish music blasting, you know, people playing dominoes outside of, you know, bodegas, shit like that, you know, definitely what it is.
But this neighborhood is more mixed now. Like, before it was just strictly Dominican, now it's, you'll see, like,
everybody, Mexican, white people, all races. I love it.
All races. But it's great that way, you know.
Now, when you guys get together and make beats together too, with your guys' no comp album too, I'm curious, how come you guys didn't choose just to make an instrumental album as opposed to having guests on that too? Because I noticed that when producers release an album, it's strictly instrumentals, but you actually got some, like, well-known guests on that album.
Yeah, you know, we're
working on that.
Yeah, we're in the process now of putting out the instruments, George, but just the way it came together, it was just, you know, I was reaching out to a lot of dope artists I was meeting, you know, through Instagram or in person. You know, we were fortunate to be here in New York with, like, you know, 90% of the artists that was there, so it made it very easy, but,
yeah.
You know, it all came together. Honestly, that whole project, I want to say, in the last 2-3 months, It all came together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got verses there that, you know, I've been talking to artists, you know, early last year about, you know, making music and stuff, and it just kind of, you know, just one day it just started to pick up. You know, we had the whole Heist Life in the studio. You know, Rome Streets came through. you know, Fast Life came through, Scott G came through, you know, so, you know, it was fire. It all came together well, you know.
I'm curious because he's one of my favorite artists out there too. Were you gents supposed to have Flea Lord on the album?
Who's that? Who?
The Flea Lord.
Oh yeah. We were talking about working on some stuff, but he was he's grinding right now. He's working real hard and stuff, and we kind of got to him kind of late. Yeah. So you know, I'm sure in the near future something could come together.
Yeah, because he's one of my favorite underground artists right now, and over I think him over you, your beats would absolutely be fire. Because when I listen to tracks like 92 Woo, it just takes me back to like when hip hop actually mattered too. And when you guys are making a track like 92 Woo, is that the goal to take people back?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. We do definitely try that. You know, but it comes out naturally, bro. A lot of times, bro, you know, the samples we gravitate to and shit like that just kind of sets that mood, you know?
Yeah, well, it is too. That's our lane, like, we've been doing beats for so long. That's our lane, like, the trap movement is all good, you know. I'll never put it down. You know, it's great. It's great for the music, you know, because it's elevating the culture. And, it, you know, it's just giving it another lane so people can make music. But our lane is more, you know, the boom bap, golden era type sound.
Yeah, because you guys don't come from like a sucker era. You guys come from that real era.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, and it's not even an age thing, man. There's a lot of younger cats too that's really gravitating to that too, bro. It's just all about, you know, what your mind wants, what you want to hear, what you're interested in, you know.
He's making great music, man. That's what we're about, man.
Would you two gents say you work closely with Trevor Lane?
Yes, we do.
Definitely.
Trevor's my guy right there.
How did you two come in contact with Trevor Lane?
IG and stuff like that, and just, you know, talking to mutual artists and stuff like that. Reach out to him for some artwork and shit, and just went from there. You know, he's not too far from my shop in the Heights. So, you know, we got up, met up, did some work together, and you know, that's our guy right there.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. I appreciate Trevor, man.
For real. He's done a lot.
He's on the circuit
right now, I would say, just music in general, you know.
I'm curious too, did he present the artwork for you two gents for that No Comp album, or did you guys find that another way?
What's that again, bro?
Say that again, that question?
Did he present you the artwork for the IMT2 No Comp album, or did you guys find that another way?
It came together. Yeah, I sent him some ideas. He sent me some stuff back and forth, and we kind of fell. We fell in love with this one style of art called Vanitas, and just a lot of the depictions and the images and shit. It was dope, and it just fit what we was trying to bring forth. You know,
and it was perfect. That he was selling.
He's good with bringing them. You know, bringing ideas to life and shit, you know? So that's why a lot of people fuck with him, I'm sure.
Well, that's a big reason why I give music a chance. I'll give all music a chance, but if you got a dope artwork, yeah, I'm starting everything I'm doing just to play that album, just because the artwork.
Yeah, definitely grabs your eye, bro. Yeah. You know, nobody, especially, you know, people like us who coming up now and stuff, you know, first project and all that. You know, we want to grab your eye, and then, you know, once you hear the music, it's, you know, the music speak, exactly.
You know, I'm curious, gents, too. When I listen to tracks like Blue Glass, I'm wondering, too, like, do you guys name the tracks straight up, or do you guys let the artist name it?
I mean, a lot of times, the titles just, you know, could come out of Blue Glass. A lot of times for me it's like the lyrics, you know, or you know, it could be anything, you know, just the kind of idea that it, you know, the mood it puts you in, So the song titles, I don't like to just, you know, put any song titles. So.
Yeah, it comes together with the feeling of what we do. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because like there's some like tracks on there too, like Lil Quartito or Blue Glass. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna check these out because like that's the thing too. If it's got a unique name, I'm gonna play it just to see what it's about.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely. That's like with 92 Woo. It was, you know, that was one of the lines from Tyler Dale's verse, and I just felt like, you know, it had like honestly that whole idea came together. That whole 92 Woo feel and idea came together literally from that one line in his verse. You know what I'm saying? That shit, he said that, and that shit just basically put us into that whole, you know, mind frame for that.
And once you guys heard that, it's like, yeah, that's it right there.
Sure.
Yeah, that was it.
And you guys recently shot a video for that, too, I seen.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Dope the Director on Instagram. JR Film Works, he did a dope job with that.
Did somebody approach you, too, about doing a video? Or was that something that you guys knew you were going to do for the single of the album? Would you consider that the lead single, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gents?
That was us.
Well, yeah, we definitely felt like we needed to do all that. Once we heard that track, the funny thing about that track is, like, we was on our way to the studio with them to do one track. And that was a beat that we had just made, like, 20 minutes before they got here. And the shit, and yo, that shit just turned into that. That shit came together.
And then, when we're listening to tracks, like I said, like Blue Glass, there's another track that grabs my attention. And with that track, it's called Golden Quotes, too. When I hear tracks like that, too, do you guys play a lot of the tracks that you guys make to yourselves before you guys release them, like that one in particular?
Definitely.
Oh, all the time.
Definitely. I honestly, T always tells me I gotta stop listening to this shit because I listen to Sky like 1,000 times in a row. You know what I'm saying? That's when you find little flaws or the special things about.
You know what's funny, Lowe? He does that and I don't listen to them at all. I don't listen to them at all because, you know, I don't know, it's just maybe I don't want to get tired of the track, I don't know, but he listens to it all the time, and I don't listen to them at all, so I get that mix, you know.
It works well.
You know?
That track actually was recorded the same day 92 Woo was recorded. That was actually the same session, that track right there.
Oh, okay.
Where Rome and Maine, yeah. And then the other one. And then Lo Quiero Todo with Tyler Dale, Fast Life, and Scott. That was recorded that same night also.
Yeah, that was an epic night, man.
Yeah, that was a dope session right there.
Yeah,
that
session was.
Oh, wow.
Shout out
Sauce Heist for making that happen. He went to the studio with them, and then everybody just, you know.
Everybody,
even after they left, that's when Fast Life and Scott G pulled up at the end of the night, and they verses. So that shit was, it came, like I said before, you know, it came together well. The whole project just, it came together well.
That project just, it was just meant to be, just meant to happen that way.
That way, yeah, exactly.
Now, would you, Jens, consider following up that album with another album like that with guests, or did you guys want to focus on the instrumental album that you guys got working on?
No, we're definitely working on an instrumental joint, but we're already speaking to other artists and trying to get, you know, all ducks in line and stuff and get that set up for the next few. There should be a few more projects coming out. And I Am Jesus, actually. We did Scott Dean's whole project. That should be dropping. Definitely before the summer, it should be out.
And Sauce Heist been coming across my radar a lot recently. The first time I ever heard of Sauce Heist was the Lamy track with Widowmaker, Westside, and Conway and Al Divino. When I heard that, I was like, "Yo, who the hell is this guy?" So when I went back and did the research on Sauce Heist, I was like, "Wow, this guy is definitely no joke when it comes to the rhyme." I'm curious, gents, how did you two gents meet Sauce Heist?
Uh,
think.
Yeah,
Dawson's actually here right now. He actually pulled up while we were doing the interview right now. Big bro
right here, man.
M. Shane, he reached out. M. Shane asked for to get the hats done. He said he'd do the work. And from there, And then from there, we just took it on. He did my first hats, Heist Life. He did my first merch, like a first piece of merch I ever pressed up. Like, yo, try it through me. And ever since, I see the love that he ever had for me. Like, it was more than just money. It's like, yo, whatever you need, I got you. Like, so
he's 24 with the rappers, you know. Like, he's more than me. I can tell you that much. Like, if it wasn't for him, this project, I mean, I'll tell you that much. If it wasn't more for him, this project probably wouldn't have happened. Because, you know, I'm from like the 90s, you know, 90s, like, you know, early 2000s. He's more now. You know, he knows all the rappers.
You know, standing too, man, so, as a young.
And it was bigger than the rappers, though, because, you know, people that on Rosedale, you know, my man.
I hit up Sauce on Instagram.
I'm just talking about,
he told me his address, and that shit is like 2 blocks from my mother's house. In the Bronx, so and I lived out there for years, so it was crazy when we linked up. You know, when we linked up and found out, you know, we knew a lot of people and all that shit. So that small world kind of thing, you know, crossed paths all the time.
It's like it was meant. It's like an unwritten prophecy, like it was meant to happen.
Correct. Not word, but that's how it should be, son. I see somebody put a meme up the other day, like. I'll do more for niggas I done met in a year, last year, 2 years, you know, than niggas that you know 20 years, you know what I'm saying? So it's all about, you know, just, you know, how life connect people and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm curious, gents, too, when you two, actually three of y'all, because Sauce is there too, when y'all gents saw the finished product of the video for 92 Woo, I'm curious what that feeling was like, because that video is, like, I love that video. It's straight hip-hop.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you're gonna feel a real group. Long days, long night, and then Texas, and finally the right day for the right video.
The same roof that Method Man shot on top of. I was like, this kind of looks familiar.
Yes, and that's the All I Need video.
Look, and you can see, though, that's
literally the same location. Like, they were standing on the same spots and all that shit.
The only difference now is that back in those days, I mean, I don't know, did they have direct TV?
They had satellite, yeah. That's the only difference now. Same buildings.
But the same building, those four projects that are back there, the same building, that's our block, you know, so, but we definitely can't forget that.
Yeah, for real.
Because you guys are obviously Wu fans, too. Who's your favorite Wu member? Mine's Raekwon.
My favorite Wu member, honestly, I would say Ghost. You know, I would definitely say Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost. You know, for me, it just kind of stands out.
Yeah, but I love them all equally.
No, I love them. No,
my favorite producer is RZA too.
Power Protect Your Neck on KCR. What's that show? Not Skinny Bones.
Stretch arms,
strong and Bobito.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I knew they were gonna be stars. Because I was like, whoa, what the fuck is this shit? Like, and that was the first track that I heard from Wu-Tang, and they all just fire, you know, they all spitting fire, and the music is great, the RZA is just amazing with the music, with the beats, and everybody lyrically is just, the
Wu-Tang took so long, he made it. Well, the reason why I asked that, too, because I was born in 91, so when they dropped, I wasn't even in tune with music. The only thing I was in tune with was my bottle and my parents. Now, when I got older, I found hip-hop in the summer of 1998, when I was 8 years old. And as I grew older, I found Wu. Now, do you guys still bump only built for Cuban Links or Iron Man to this day, and it still sounds the exact same?
My God, it might be healthy, baby.
I think Cuban Links, the greatest, besides, Illmatic, probably the greatest album. But my favorite Wu album is Iron Man, though. You know, I definitely still play that shit to this day.
And do you guys still get the same feeling that you guys did get when you first heard that album all those years ago?
What's that, brother? What's that?
Do you guys still get that same feeling when you guys listen to that those albums the same way you listened to those albums all those years ago?
Definitely, though. Definitely get that feeling. It's, sometimes, I'll get shit sometimes, I come from I drive now, but I was on the train a lot, coming up and all that, and I can feel, I get that feeling like I'm sitting on the train with a bag full of fucking CDs instead of my books. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of that music. And not for nothing, this album, there's some tracks there that definitely gives me that feeling, too, that I felt like I'm, 13 on my way to school. You know what I'm saying? The snow type shit, like, bumping my music.
Clothes and armies.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I got an army patch
right. Definitely gives that.
Yeah, I feel you on that, with a backpack full of CDs instead of books.
For real.
See, a lot of these kids nowadays, they get everything on their phones. They don't know, the meaning of, having a physical copy and opening those liner notes, too, because...
My brother, I'm telling you, I talk about that all the time, bro. I was telling somebody the other day, I remember buying that shit at the Wiz with my fucking summer youth check and fucking going home and sitting down listening to the words, looking at the pictures.
Yeah,
all that shit,
Now, I call it a push button era. Because, my niece, my grandnieces, for instance, I give them the phone and they work it just like me or even better. And a lot of kids now, they grew up, they grab the phone or iPad or whatever it is, and they're so advanced on it. So it's only going to get, as far as that's concerned, it's only going to get better for them.
But that's why you see with the underground scene, there's a lot of people that want them physicals. They want that merch. I'm like that. I don't want to buy an MP3 in a sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I purchase it, that's the only way, but I'd rather buy two CDs. You know what I'm saying? Or two tapes or a vinyl or something like that. There's definitely the demand for that is there. People want it.
And also too.
It's like Sauce just sent me right now, Best Buy they're not even selling CDs anymore. You know what I'm saying? So right now, the only way to really get that direct physical, that copy is going straight to the artist. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, I like to show my support that way, and I also like to, that's why our CD, the artwork and all that we put into it, and all the thought that we put into it is for that. Somebody that experience, not just like...
We've always been like that, with artists, even back in the days when, we used to buy the CD. I never used to... when LimeWire and what was that other one?
Napster
and all that. I never used that. Besides downloading a virus, have the time of, we always supported the artists. We always bought the CD, the physical CD. I have, boxes of CDs.
I got over 1,000 CDs. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes that's great, just because it's the market.
It was an article like in early 2018 saying that cassettes sold more than CDs.
More than CDs.
Oh, really?
Don't get it twisted. The mainstream sees it. Do you see Pusha selling tapes?
No, Tiny
Not selling tapes.
Also, too, like, and it's physical, too, because you never know what can happen to your hard drive, your laptop, your phone, or that, like, or even, like, iTunes. Like, what if iTunes shuts down and all that digital stuff you bought is gone?
I mean, you always got your Gmail where you can log in.
Yeah,
now,
I told my daughter
that
all the time. I got a 15-year-old, and I told her that, too, like, your phone shut down, you don't have nothing.
Let me tell you something, Harry Potter book. I had a hard drive, right? It had like massive amount of music, and not too long ago I went and plugged it in, and shit didn't turn on.
Yeah.
So I lost everything, and I tried to, you know how you can take it to tech support or whatever, and they can get it out. They can try to get out what they can, but it was like finished, man.
Yeah, so for a situation like that, always having your hard copies, balls, and all that shit is always great.
Okay, and I'm curious, gents, too. Bandcamp, I believe that's the way of the future. What's your two gents' take on Bandcamp?
I mean, there's always ways around everything, you know. It's just I like, you know, it makes it more direct.
I mean, to get
the artists, you know, to get it out to the people, stuff like that. You know, and I got a lot of questions, you know, saying when we're gonna, you know, put it up for streaming and stuff like that. Should be up there soon, but we was just, you know, trying to get the full product out to everybody, you know, that really wanted it, and you know, we wanted to take that step first. But I like Bandcamp, though. You know, everything's promo, man. Everything's promo nowadays, so well, you know, it's not like before, you know.
I think their service is good, though. I think Bandcamp,
it's FX to buy, you know.
It's pretty good. I have no complaints.
It's a good way to support the artist, you know. So if you see an artist, don't sign on Bandcamp. You know, go out, cop this shit with a single, a whole joint. That's because you know for a fact. You support, you know what I'm saying? That's right. And it's dope. You see who bought it. You can message them. You know what I'm saying? Well, that shit is dope. It's cool.
Yeah, and it's direct contact with the artist, too, so you know that the money's going strictly to them.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So always support all artists.
I'm always
hashtag y'all, you know, support real hip hop. And always, you know, whether it's the show, a shirt, you know what I'm saying, a CD, a single. If you fuck with an artist, support that man.
I like how you brought that up, too. Your cover for No Comp 2 would actually make a fire hoodie. Have you gents talked about doing clothing before for a merch like that?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. That's something that's in the works already. It's in the works already.
Okay. I'll definitely keep an eye out, though, because I'll love to cop one of those hoodies.
I got you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. You know.
With that being said, too, did you guys always play around with the name No Comp before releasing the debut album, or was it titled something different?
Well, no, the title of the Rim song is No Comp. That's Rim, Eddie Kane, and Kate Burns, No Comp. The album, we just self-titled it, IMT2. We wanted people to get acquainted with the name and stuff like that. You know, we had a million names. You know, it's tough to name your shit sometimes, you know, because some people just throw any word out there. Some people want to have meaning behind it, you know that. But the IMT2, we just wanted to self-title the IMT2.
Oh, okay, so it's self-titled debut. Okay. And I'm curious, because you gents are from that real era, too. And when I was looking at your fan page, too, I noticed that it kind of looks like the icon in the top left. It's like a comic, but it's like half man, half machine. Would you gents ever come up with an official logo for the IMT2 movement?
Yeah, that's in the works also,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's not our official.
We're real picky with that shit, so.
Yeah, I guess it's more me.
They gotta be the right thing, you know. But
I'm like, the thing with me, I like to. Sometimes I can try to be too perfect and shit. So not just me, you know.
That perfectionist mentality. But yeah, all that's coming along.
Yeah, it's actually being done now, I think.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gents got played on Selvin Vanguard Radio yesterday, and I'm curious, what's that feeling like? Because you guys got played alongside Smith & Wesson, Ghostface, Inspector Deck, as Cesar Face. Like, what's that feeling like when you guys saw that?
That's dope, man. That's dope.
It's dope.
No, the recognition is always great, man. We appreciate those guys. You know, the satellite, you know, stations playing the shit, and you know, everybody putting us on playlists and stuff like that. Well, shout out to the DJ, man.
Hey, shout out to the DJs. DJs keep the culture moving. So shout out to them. Shout out to the radio stations, all the internet great stations. You know, whoever plays our music or you know just our
any kind
music,
of support, man.
You know,
appreciate
the cultures. You know, we appreciate that.
And for the people listening who are curious where they can find IMT2's music, would you two gents like to give a little plug on that?
Yeah, you can search IMT2 on Bandcamp. Search us on Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, everything IMT2, it'll come up there. And just follow the links.
Now, I'm pretty sure you gents have a lot of people asking you, when's this coming on iTunes? When's this coming on Tidal? I'm curious, did a lot of people ask you about that, or you guys have a fan base that strictly understands your movement?
Well, we're growing the fan base right now, you know, but it's like, yeah, it's 50-50. You know, we definitely got the people hitting us up just because they want to hear it, and, you know, they're already paying for these services, you know, iTunes and everything like that, but, you know, there's definitely people that want the physicals, and they like the fact that it's, you know, kept pretty limited to where you can find the music. So it's a mixture of the two.
I love music like that. That's limited too. It's like something exclusive that you have to pay for in order to get it.
Well, that's a dope shit. You know, like it's tough now to do that. You know, there's ways around everything on the internet. You know. So, you know, it's tough to keep shit super limited and make sure that only the people who really support you can hear that shit. But honestly, man, any kind of, you know, people playing our shit, listening to our shit or anything like that, it's appreciated, so.
And I understand you gents are steadily working on your craft, so I won't take up much of your time. This is the last question that I ask all my guests, too, and I feel like you two would give a very good answer to this question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you gents have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light? Do you gents have words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
It could always get better, brother. It could always get better.
Yeah, man, you gotta stay positive, man.
That's one thing my mom always told me, you know, it could always be much worse, you know?
Exactly.
So you could appreciate everything you got.
there's people, I believe, in this world that have it really bad. And, you know, you just got to stay positive, man. You got to keep moving forward. You know, things are going to happen. It's life. You know what I'm saying? Life happens. But you got to stay focused, man. And if you do what you love, I think you'll be happy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely true. If you just find something that you're passionate about, all your problems would go away.
I agree 100%. That's, you know, like Sauce Heist Mama said, play with yourself. Don't play with me. You get a better feel.
I like that. I like that right there. And with that being said, too, I really do appreciate you two gents, and Sauce, if you can hear me, for you gents taking the time out your busy schedule to do this interview. IMT2, do y'all have any last words or something y'all like to plug in before I let you two gents go?
IMT2 Music.
Yeah, that's our Instagram, Twitter.
Facebook, everything.
My Instagram, my own is underscore EM. Underscore CEE, that's the initials spelled out of my name. Of my name, F. Manny Castillo. So,
R-I-G, I am music, I-A-M, U-Z-I-K. You already know. We are a lot of work this year.
And I'll definitely...
And check out my sneaker shop, FameNYC, FAIMNYC. On everything, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place.
You know, 2304 Amsterdam, in New York, uptown in the Heights. You know, so, you got the exclusive kicks here.
I'll definitely throw up the links to all your band camps and your profiles and your sneaker shop when this interview airs, gents.
You're ready, brother. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, bro, man. Keep doing that, man. It's good dope what you're doing, bro, for real.
Moving the culture forward, brother.
I appreciate you two gents, too, making them dope beats for the culture. Y'all make the beats I'll be not bobbing my head to.
Thank you, man.
Already. Peace, brother.
All right, brother.
Peace, my guys.
Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.